I'm going to be talking about this morning the new creation and the new identity, right? So I'm going to just do a summary and then we're going to read the scriptures slowly together. So when we come to know the Lord in our hearts, now think about this. Change begins to take place. For some, that change seems to happen quickly, and for others, it's a slower process. However, the most important thing is that we are all moving forward and being transformed from the inside out. The Word of God describes believers as a new creation. We are no longer defined by who we once were, but by who we are now in Christ. As we walk with Him, we learn to live out our new identity and grow into the person God has called us to be. Therefore, the Christian life is not about trying harder, right? Therefore, the Christian life is not about trying harder to become someone new. It's about learning to walk in the reality of what God has already done inside you. Can you see the difference? All right, so we're going to be examining the scriptures. Now, if we turn to our Bibles, Colossians 3:1. Okay, Colossians, the book of Colossians 3, and we're going to start the first verse. I want you just to focus and think about what the Lord is saying to us today. And while you're getting there, the foundational verse I'm going to read is in Corinthians. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So the reconciliation just means God is restoring you, right? Where you didn't have no relationship before, God is now restoring you, right? Restoration. Reconciliation. So we're going to read now the next part. That was the foundational verse. What happens next? Colossians 3:1. We read it together. It gives us this picture. Okay? So focus on what the text is saying to us. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So we're going to just pause for a moment. The next section, right, is regarding the old man. So we're going to continue at verse 5. Now let's read it together slowly. Therefore, put to death your members, which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. So when you covet something, all it means you are desiring something else that somebody has, right? Life or car, ministry, whatever it may be. Covet, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off. Listen to this word. Now you yourselves are to put off all this: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Okay? So we've got language here, putting off something. We've got language here telling you that you must do it. Now the next verse, the new man. Verse 10. And have put on the new man. Okay, so you're putting off one old man, now you're putting on a new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. This is just the revelation of God. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, nor free, but Christ is in all and in all. These people groups, right? God is saying, I'm taking you out of them. Wherever you used to be in, right? God has taken you out. He's removed you from them. And it goes on about the character of the new man. Your new identity, right, has a character. So we're going to read, continue. Verse 12 says, therefore, now look at the words that the Lord uses to describe you. As the elect of God, holy, beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do also. And above all these things, put on love. You know, this word love doesn't mean you allow everything. When it says put on love, it doesn't mean you compromise. Love tells someone the truth, doesn't it? Love protects. Love guides. So the word here is not the fleshy love where, oh, you know, aren't you Christians? Aren't you supposed to love everybody? You know, they said to Jesus, his brothers said to him, right, you can go out into the world and you can do this. And Jesus said, listen, the world doesn't hate you, but it hates me. Because I tell the world its ways are evil. That's love. That's love. To tell a person, listen, don't do that, do this. That's not very loving. But the love of Jesus and the love of the Holy Spirit tells you if a child is running into the road, or if a person is drinking, or they're on drugs, or they're doing something destructive, you are supposed to tell them in love not to do that. All right? So, above all things, put on love. Don't get it mixed up with the world love, watered down love. It's a holy, righteous love, which is the bond of perfection. So that love, when you tell people, is the bond of perfection, that holy love. Let the peace, church, do you have peace? Now let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body, and be thankful. So this is the description. I'm going to just stop there. So we've gone through the old man, what he does, how he thinks, what he says. We're told how to put on someone new, put on the garments of the new creation, your new identity, which you don't have to earn it. You already got it on. It's already in you. You just need to walk it out. So we have a new wardrobe, and I will continue. The old man was characterized by pride, anger, selfishness, bitterness, unforgiveness, and rebellion. The new man is characterized by mercy, kindness, patience, forgiveness, love, and peace. These are the clothes of the new creation that believers are commanded to put on daily. So when you get up in the morning, you put this spiritual suit on, right? Your robes of righteousness. And you start learning to walk out your new identity. The phrase put on is important and uses the simple language of clothing. Just as we choose what clothes to wear each morning, if you're going running or you're walking or you go to work, right, you know what clothes you're wearing. Believers are consciously, we are told to put on attitudes and the character, right, and the nature of Christ every day. It's not easy, church, is it? We forget, we revert to what we know, don't we? We go back to what we know for 20, 30, or 40 years. But I've got this simple picture, right? Being born again and putting on a new identity is like changing vehicles, right? For the journey ahead. It's an internal change inside you from your heart. An old vehicle, rusty, slow, broken down, and no longer fit for the road ahead, has been taken to the scrapyard. This is your old life. This is your old vehicle. Have the image in your head. Old, beaten up car. The old vehicle you used to have. You have stepped out of it. And this is very important, right? You come out of it. See an old battered car. Old life, right? You step out of it. Come out of it. And it's being crushed and destroyed and completely dismantled. You're no longer in it anymore. You cannot go back to it. People want to go back to the past and to the thought processes. You can't go back to it. Yes, you still have memories. Listen to this. Yes, you still have memories from the old vehicle. Some are good and some are bad. But now you have been given a brand new vehicle. And that is the God's truth. Whether you picture a Mercedes, some of you, Ferrari, Porsche, or a Jeep, or 4x4. The point is it has new capabilities, right? That's what I want you to know. You have new capabilities. You have a new suit. You have a new purpose. You have a new future, right? Think of the imagery. In the same way, a new creation has a new identity, a new nature. You are learning to live out. That's the best way I can describe it. You are learning to live out your new life in Christ. You don't know how to do it yet. You're not sure. But you're learning to live it out. Baptism is a picture of the old life for those that have been baptized. It means buried. The old man has gone down into the water and has died. God is saying to you, do not go back to what already has been put to death. You got it, church? You understand it? Yeah. Don't go back to it. Don't go back to the old vehicle. Don't go back to your old life. There is nothing there for you. You may look the same on the outside, but inside changes are taking place, right? You might look at the mirror and go, I see the same. I feel the same. But don't be deceived, because God is working in you. The new identity, the new creation, the new wardrobe you are to put on. Who is the new identity? Who is it based on? Jesus. There you go. So you know. The new identity is modeled on Jesus Christ. Right, that's it. So you've got an image. You've got someone you need to reach for every day. You've got a person that you can read about, that you can learn about, and you follow. We have to grow to be like him. John tells us, now listen to this sentence very carefully. Right? John says this, the beloved of Jesus. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. So he tells us, by this we know. He who says he abides in him ought himself also be able to walk just as he walked. So God is saying to us, listen, we need to be walking like Christ. If you keep the word of God, you will be walking like Jesus. Not just talking about Jesus. Well, everyone talks about Jesus. Right? Everyone knows the Bible. Everyone's theologians and all pastors and all apostles. Right? But it's not what you know. It's who you know. And who you know will come out of you. And that requires, what's the word, church, beginning with R?
Relationship.
Hallelujah. Relationship, right? Relationship with God. You can read all the texts and not have a relationship with the Lord. Again, this requires action. This is where you have to come into agreement, church, with the word of God. This requires action and movement on your part. Remember, the Holy Spirit comes to live in us. This doesn't work with just the text alone. You will be disconnected and you will be at a great disadvantage if you're just reading the texts. Okay, there's two people involved here. There is the word and there is the Spirit. You got to get it? The Holy Spirit comes to live in us to help us each day grow in our new identity. Very important. We start to do new things. So you can measure yourself. You start to do new things, new thoughts, make new plans. You get bolder, you get more confidence. You start to transform. You will start to transform because you are changing on the inside out. Are you awake, church?
Yes.
Like we mentioned last week, you were saved for a reason. Right, we spoke last week. Why are you here? Why are you saved for? What are you saved for? It's not to come to church every Sunday only. I have to add that in very quickly. It's not only to come to church every Sunday. What we do is not who we are. Right? So I gave some examples last Sunday. So the baker breaks bread. A baker will break bread. The mechanic, he'll fix the car. The cook prepares the food. The prisoner languishes in prison. Their actions define and label them. This is why they do this. It's because they don't have an identity. Right? You can ask the mechanic, baker, you know, the prison, for example, when I'd go into the prisons and preach to the men, right? Beautiful men, 80, 90 men there. All in prison, gangs, drugs, stabbing, abuse, whatever, right? I remember I spoke to them. I said, listen, you're here this morning, but you're home. There's a space for you. You shouldn't be here. Your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your children. There's an empty chair. But you should be. You shouldn't be here. And you've got no identity. And I say to you, I was saying to them, listen, some of you here, future pastors, scientists, preachers, actors, musicians, sitting in that place. Right? Because they have the old identity, right? Gangs and rejection. And because the level of revelation is very low, they're stuck in this place. But we can be outside here and be stuck in the place still, can't we? Isn't it right? So prison there or prison there, I see the same thing. Only with there, to be honest with you, right, they are physically restrained. They're restrained, they can't move. So what you do doesn't define you. All right? Jesus asked this question to his disciples. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, well, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You need to know who you are, church. Your identity will produce the fruit. You understand? When I use the analogy of a baker, they know what to do. They'll bake the bread, do the dough, and they'll give you some beautiful pastries, right? But for us, who are you? Ask who are you? Do you believe you are a son of God? Do you believe you are a daughter of God? Or you just agree with the word that's spoken over you? Jesus says, the first words he says, repent and believe. You see the difference? You can have everything in front of you. You're a new creation. You've got the mind of Christ. You have every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. You're called, appointed, loved, anointed. I can go on and on and on. And it can go at your head and you can say, well, I actually don't believe that. Isn't it sad? And many people don't believe it. If the pastor asks, oh yeah, I'm a child of God, pastor. But what do you say about yourself when you're not here? I'm useless, I'm always double-minded, I don't know this. You know, what do you speak in your private life over yourself? What words do you use over yourself? Because that words you're saying is coming from your source of truth. You understand what I'm trying to get at? It may be your truth, but it is not the truth, right? It's not the truth. It may be your truth. And you have to grow. But it's not the truth, because God tells us the truth. He tells you who you are. And God is asking you today, your identity. Do you know who you are? Once you know your identity, you will know your purpose. And then you can go to work. And that's a beautiful place to be. Isn't it awesome?
Yeah.
Maybe you're a prayer warrior. Maybe you're an evangelist. Maybe you like to cook. Whatever it is, once you know what you are made for, then you spend the rest of your life perfecting it. You see, church? But it only comes for your identity. It's not about what the world, it's not about what you do. And I've had many men in that room, and I'll speak to them. I said, brother, who are you? Oh, yeah, I'm married, I've got two kids, I work in IT. I say, that's what you do, but who are you? And a blank look comes on their face. They can't tell me. Who are you? They're searching for the answer. So what you believe, Christ is saying, who am I? The new identity we have received is modeled on Christ. We know that. We know that we are made sons and daughters of God. We have a relationship with the Lord. We have a covenant with God. He sees us as family. Maybe we don't see God as family, but he sees us as family. Our lives that we need to grow up into need to reflect the image of Christ. And this is not so easy. But we have to reach for it. You have to reach for it. The success you have in the life of God will be determined on your identity. Right? That's it. If you know what you're made for, if you know in your heart, you know what? This is what I'm for. When you know it, people can't discourage you. When you know it, no one can say nothing to you because they're lying to you. But because you don't believe the truth, their lies, some of them might get in. Remember I used that analogy of my boss? Does anyone remember? I'll share it for some of you. You know, I had the boss with the most vicious mouth ever. Hired 600 people, fired 600 people, and he was just bang at me. Boom, useless, you're worthless. You said you do this, you said you do that. Da 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 dee dee dee, bang 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 bang, boom, 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 boom. And I smiled, I said, fine, that's your opinion. You understand?
Yeah.
You see the difference? I don't come into agreement. Yeah. I said, brother, listen, boss, that's your. That's what you'll be. That's fine, no problem. But I told you what I would do.
Yeah.
And I've done it. What I'm saying, if you don't know who you are in your core, don't get distracted, church. Are you here with me?
Yeah.
Don't look at doors and people going out and flies. Listen, focus. Very important. Focus. Focus. Or you'll sleep all your life missing it. And I don't want you to do that, because you will see yourself, the Lord. You're not going to see me. I'm nice. When you see the Lord, Lord, don't play. Lord, don't play. Running waters, hurricane. What have you done? Anyway, I'm not even going to try and go there. But listen, take it seriously. Take the identity seriously. Our lives should reflect on his character. And when you have your identity, right, you know what to do. I want to share this awesome, I had this awesome vision many years ago, right? And I was in my old house, right, where I grew up with my mum and dad, right? And we have this fence on this side. And on the other side, in my vision, right, I saw lots of heads. So I'm looking over the fence, and I see lots of heads, like a stadium. And it goes all the way down to the bottom. And something exciting is going on there. Isn't that awesome? I had a division between me, but you see all his heads, and it was going down, down, and at the bottom there's something going on there. So what I'm saying is the Lord is inviting us to something super exciting, right? So exciting. But you have to get over the fence and go for it. And you're not going to do it in your old banger vehicle.
No.
Right? You're not going to make it in your old vehicle. You're not going to make it in your old thought process. You're not going to make it in your old habits. You're not going to make it. Right? You're not going to fulfill. I don't want to confuse salvation, right, with transformation. Right? You believe in Christ, you're saved, no problem. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. But what if inside you is something great? Church? When I used to minister to people, right, and they were really down on the floor, I said, listen, I want to share something with you. We are now going to go into the room, right, and the room is going to be full of people. Think about it. Full of 50 people that are going to thank you because you've helped them in their life. And it's true, but you haven't met them yet. You see, the power of destiny. If you can meet 50 people in that room that you, oh, thank you, you've helped me with this and this and this. You think, oh, no. I said, listen, it's my faith. You could have something so great in you, so beautiful in you, which I know everyone here does. I know you all do, right? But I don't know what it is because it's not mine. I know my work. I know what I can do. I know what God has shown me. And that keeps me going, right? And I can share with you bits of vision, right? What God has shown me, amazing, spectacular things. And it drives me. It drives me for the last 12 years, right? It drives me. I'm driven. You don't see it, but I'm so excited because now that door's opening, that's happening, that's going on. And everyone here, I'd love for you to enter into that work, but you're going to need your identity. You're going to need your new suit. You're going to need your new vehicle. And the thing is, you've got to be selfish with it, right? Listen, if someone gave you a Lamborghini, right, and I gave you the keys, and someone says to you, can I use it? Get lost. I haven't driven it yet. Isn't that right? Yeah. Or you say, oh, you take my car and they smash it. Oh, sorry. Guard your anointing, church. Guard it, I promise you. Guard what God has given to you. Take it and clutch it. Hold on to it. Don't let it go. Don't give it to anybody. Because it's for you. Do you understand? They have to get their own Lamborghini. Ferrari. It's for them. They get this. But don't let them take it from you. Because I've seen it over the years. Don't. It's yours. He gave it to you. Why? Because you're the only one. You're the only one that can drive it. You're the only one that has the doors. You're the only one that has the voice. You're the only one that has the authority. You're the only one that has the keys to open those doors. So I want you to have that vision. I'm going to just close in 8 things, really. And then we'll pray and then we'll move over to an awesome time of communion. So how can we grow in our new identity? Identity leads on to purpose, right? 2 things. It's interconnected. Identity, wear the suit and you're going to a meeting, right? With the Lord and for the Lord. Number one, ask the Lord first, right? Number one, we ask the Lord. We pray and you ask, Lord, you know what? What have you created me to do? Not to be, because you know who you are, right? So I'm not going to start from who you are. You are Son of God. That's where we're starting off, right? You're chosen, called, appointed. Your heart's open. You've been baptized. And you're trying to follow the Lord. So you're in that place already. But now, what do I do? Some of you have your callings and you know what it is. So we pray and we ask the Lord. Lord, what is it in me? Can you help me, right? Number two, get closer to the Holy Spirit. This is, I say, the most important thing. Don't go to people, don't listen to YouTube, don't get pastors. Just ask, Lord, you, Lord, Holy Spirit, can I know you? We were singing a song today. Your presence is heaven to me. Is that true for you? Or is it just a song? Is it song? Are you singing song? Is it true?
It's true.
Have you experienced it?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so more into the presence of the Lord. Right? Because in the presence, it's like the doors close and God comes upon you and he starts to work through you. Very important relationship with the Lord. Get closer to the Holy Spirit. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And it says this, do you not know that you yourselves are God's temple? Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Do you know that? Do you believe it?
Yes.
You're never alone, even when you feel lonely. Amen. You see, this is a big jump. Pastor, I'm lonely. I think, listen, don't you understand who's with you? Your very words tell me you don't understand it. You could be on an island on your own and you will not be lonely because the Lord is with you. You see? So ask yourself, Lord, do I know you in that way? I'd love to know you. Okay, number three, move under the unction or the anointing of the Spirit, right? And this just means for you to be so filled with the Spirit of God, so in love with Jesus, so completely full. You are besotted with the Lord every second of every day. His presence consumes you. And you're not interested in anything else, right? And he'll start to talk to you. Again, the scripture. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And this is for you, church. But God has revealed them to us through his... Does anyone know the last word? Through his... Through his Spirit. Okay. The things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. So God is telling you very clearly, listen, if you want to find out what you're supposed to do, spend time with my Holy Spirit. He'll tell you. You know, this morning I was saying, you know, Lord, this is like the Fantastic Three, isn't it? Yeah. I said, oh, can I say that? It's the Fantastic Three. I know the Fantastic Four, right? But I said, Lord, you know, you are like the Fantastic Three, you know. There's the Father, and there's the Son, and there's the Holy Spirit. But when you come into that, right, God has given you. You're part of that triunity. You're part of that vision. You're part of the love. You're part of the direction. You're going from one relationship, right, to another relationship. Be brave. Be bold. Take chances, right? Did God say that? Oh, I'm not sure. Let's just get on with it, mate. Get on with it. Just get on with it. Be brave. Be bold. Take chances in God. Start to follow him. Just like the early disciples did. Number 5, 6. Trust his leading. Don't try and figure it out. Right? Listen, don't try and figure out. The natural mind, as we said, is an enmity against God. It won't support you. The natural mind will claw it down. It won't make sense. Do this. Oh, is that the Lord? Is that me? Just do it and find out. Don't doubt. Nor is that you. You know, years ago when we had a meeting here, right, many years ago, and the pastor at the time, we had like a gathering, and I said, Pastor, is anyone going to the prisons? And he said, no, maybe you like to go. And I'm thinking, heck no. Heck no. I don't want to go to the prison. What for? And then I thought, oh, okay, you know what? Oh, flipping heck, man, the Lord wants to go. You see, church? Do you see? I don't want to go to a prison. And I stopped and I thought, no, the Lord wants to go to prison. He wants me to go to prison. And how can I just say? Okay, so before the prison, right, the pastor asked me, called me up one day, David, can you preach? And I knew he was going to ask me, and I put the phone down. And I said, I don't want to preach. Oh, yes, Pastor, I'll preach. No, I don't want to preach. And then on the outreach, can you preach? And I thought, no, I don't want to. I'm happy in the background. Aren't we happy in the background, men? Aren't we, people? We're happy in the background, aren't we? Yeah. That someone, God's called you. He hasn't called me. He's called you. Gone, you to the loo, off you tread. It's a lie. I've been there, innit? And so, pastor asked me to preach. And I had to do a wobbly sermon, right? Then I was on the outreach, wobbly words. The Jesus loves you. Come to Jesus now. You know, whatever. And then as I started to grow, right, the Lord was opening the door in prison. And I thank God, church. I thank God, because if I didn't do the first one and the second one, there's no way I could have preached to 80 men in prison. Do you understand how it works? So you have to be right, uncomfortable. It's normally when you're comfortable, God's going to call you out. Because he wants to stretch you. He wants to see what you can do so you can worship him. Do you get it? Amen. If you do So be led by the Spirit. Go one, go two, go three, and then you get to four. And then you realize, well, I didn't do one or two. I would never know. I wouldn't be here today. I couldn't give testimony. You see how it works. So my life, I'm always being obedient to the Lord. Even if it's stupid, I say, okay, Lord, I'm going to do it. Because I'm quite impulsive. Okay, I'll do it. Let's do this. Let's do that. I'll just go for it. I won't think about it. I'll just do it. Like, just do it. Church. And everyone here, you're hearing words, aren't you? You're all hearing words. Oh, let me pray. Listen, just get on with it, man. What's the worst case scenario, really? There isn't one, is it, really? Come on. I've got a word for this person. I've got a word for you. No, nothing to do with me. Oh, no. Carry on. Like the woman I prayed for on the high street. Can I pray for your healing? Healing? I'll give you freaking healing. She gets a cane and starts trying to hit me with a cane. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. You understand? But if you don't push yourself, you're never going to know. And you can't learn it from the Bible. And you can't come to me because I can't give it to you. It's got to be yours, isn't it? The walk, the mystery, the God talking to you, the dreams and the visions, it's for you. It's for you. It's for you to do it. It's not for me. I'm here to inspire you and say, I've done that. You can do it. So God is wanting us, again, trust his leading. Don't try to figure it out with the natural mind. It won't make sense to you. Don't ask anyone. Don't tell anyone. Just do it. Renew your mind just means to believe in God no matter what. All right? Renew your mind. Lord, if that's you, I'm going to do it. I'll find out. Okay, number 7, be obedient. Right, very difficult one. All right, obedient. Be obedient. Do as he asks. Do as he leads you. Your identity will produce its purpose, right? How are you going to find out if your car can go through a big puddle if you don't drive it through? Your four-wheel drive, right? How do you know your car goes 100 miles an hour if you've got a Lamborghini if you don't go to 100 miles an hour, right? Your identity, your suit, your armor, it's beautiful. It's for you. It's for you, and it will grow for the seasons. It will grow and expand. It will change for the season. But you have to work it out with the Lord, church. And then I'm going to finish number 8, right? He commanded us to the word of reconciliation, right? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The word of reconciliation means your part of your work is going to be reconciling people back to God, right? The word of reconciliation just means the gospel. That's all it is. So however God is working through you with your new suit, your new identity, it will be, number one, to glorify the Lord, right? Glorify the Lord. Whenever you can, the rest of it will be for your life. It's finances or resources, whatever other thing you want, God will add it to you. But don't get mixed up in doing it yourself. Do what he says. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everything else will be added to you. Put on your new identity. Throw off the old man. Anger. Okay. Unforgiveness. Right. Throw it all off. And then put on a brand new suit. A brand new suit. And start to work with the suit. And God will start to bring a new life. And a new identity. So I'm just going to end in prayer. And then we'll just slide over to a time of communion. Is that all right, church? So, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, oh, my brothers and sisters here today. It is the first half of this year. Lord, how I would love everyone here when I get to December to look back and see the transformation and change. I'm just going to pray now, okay, right now, that the old suit, church, listen, some of you may have an old suit on, right? Old helmet on, I don't know, gloves, whatever you're wearing, right? Just get rid of it, right? Get rid of it. Look to your right, you're going to see a brand new, beautiful suit, right? Beautiful, spotless garments. Holiness, you know, almost like a wedding garment, but I'm going to say a suit because it's about business, right? I pray you start to just take off what you need to take off and put on the new suit, right? Just put on the new clothing, however you want to understand, however God is showing it to you. Put on the new clothing. Put it on. Put the new identity on. Throw off the old man who's trying to take off the new clothes. Chuck him to the side. He's dead. He's not worth it. Fling him to the side. He's not important, right? And start focusing on the Lord. When you put that suit on, the mind of Christ gets more activated, right? Because you are now believing. We're talking about the mind now, the spiritual mind. The mind of Christ is spiritual. And new clothes, right? New mandate, strength for the days ahead, an invisible path that God has saved you for good works. The old clothes, like the old car, just chuck it on your left hand side, chuck it to the burning fire. You don't need it anymore. You will never, ever need it. It has never actually ever helped you. Your old identity has never, ever actually helped you. All it's done is trip you up all your life. Tripped you up and left you on the floor and then snigger. Chuck it away. You don't need it anymore. You don't need tormenting. You don't need the lies. You don't need the past. You need the new clothes of the new mandate under the new covenant. So Father, we pray for that separation right now, for the new garments of praise right now. A garment of praise right now. And we just ask you, Holy Spirit, if you just seal that in the name of Jesus Christ, just over their whole body, mind and spirit, Lord God, that they will walk out even more the callings and the giftings He has for you for your life. May God show you people that you're going to minister to, or you have already ministered to, yet to minister to through faith, but it only comes when you are back on the narrow path of Jesus Christ. So Father, we thank you this morning. Just let it go, church. And as you're there, we're going to just again move over into the reason that we can do this. It is because of the blood in the new covenant. The old man is crucified and removed from ourselves, from our mind, from our emotions, from our habits, at every level, at the subatomic level. Everything has been destroyed because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And I pray in your hearts, not in your emotions, I pray in your spirit, right? Not in your feelings. I pray that you start to speak to the Lord and just tell him amen. And in your own words, oh Lord, I believe, I receive, forgive me if I've doubted you. Just speak to the Lord in a few moments, church. Remember, there is no condemnation, right? We are children growing up, and we have a Father who's a heavenly Father, who's the most patient, the most loving, the most understanding. Don't get it twisted with your earthly family or carers. Go straight to your real Father in heaven. He wants you to have the best life that His Son died to give you. And in the words of Jesus Christ, I have come to that you may have life. An abundance. So the Lord wants you to have an abundance of life for His glory. So we can have the communion and just stay in that place, church. Just focus, stay in that place. Very important that you never take off the new clothing you put on today. Don't let anyone talk you out of your new garments or your new suit or your callings or the life God has for you. Don't let no one steal it or deceive you. So I thank you that's been sealed. And church, we go to a part now. Just examine yourself before the Lord, right? The power of forgiveness. And if you want to, I'm just going to just say the Our Father, and you're welcome to join. So Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thy is the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, O Jesus. And so, church, just imagine yourself, right? Because it's the Bible says where two or more are gathered, here He is in our midst. You're on the table with the Lord and the rest of the disciples. He's giving the new covenant, which is for us today to remember him. Think about the new covenant. Think about the sacrifice on the cross for you. Think about what Jesus did for you. We will never have to be crucified. We will never have actually to face death. Even the fear of death, we will never have to face. All we will do in the blink of an eye will be transformed, and we will be with the Lord. It's amazing what God has done for us, but only if you understand and only if you believe it. So Lord, we thank you so much. Thank you, Jesus. You've washed away our sins as far as the west is from the east. The east, Lord, we thank you. We thank you of the power of the new covenant. Not the old covenant, but the power of the new covenant. As you set your hearts on the Lord, just in your own words, church, you know what to do. This is your time with the Lord. He wants to commune with you. And so it says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you." And in the same manner he took also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Thank you, Jesus. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.